look at the another quantitative technique that is called telephone survey. And this used to be very common. There are a lot of even telephone surveys done even today. And telephone calling to a select sample, existing customers, or any other group of people. So audience for this telephone surveys could be through telephone call. An advantage, let's count on the advantage onto that. Data can be obtained quickly. It is possible to get up-to-date data. Good response rates, provided somebody answered. Now, with the help of certain software that are still running, there are people who block. And sometimes people don't pick up these type of calls. That comes into disadvantage. And that it needs to be short. Sometimes people don't have time, especially people with a busy schedule. Then rapport with the correspondent is difficult. And again, it's an expensive and it involves a human involvement to get, and then analysis has to be done, which could be complex. These are some of the shortfalls or disadvantage of quantitative technique. Another is the in-house customer survey. It's another technique that's used, and this refers to online quantitative front desk interviews. In-house, which means you will do it within your own environment. Advantage is fresh opinions are obtained, and that can be obtained instantly. Customers can be contacted easily or are readily accessible at lesser cost because it's done in-house. You do it with your own environment, with your own customers who have been loyal to you. Disadvantage to count on, it may not be representing the population fully, which is very important. When you pick up a survey, what population you have picked up to for your survey is playing an important role because this is done to your in-house customer within your own environment. So possibly this is not a very good form of an interview or a survey. And then it needs to be kept short and easy to be complete. So with understanding this and disadvantage, we may not get a required result in this quantitative technique. With all that, now we still continue with the marketing research understanding, and we have quite a lot of understanding in quantitative, especially techniques used for surveys online, in-house, and telephone interviews, and so on, to get a particular survey done. So we saw into the advantages and disadvantages of every single survey that we looked into. Now we shift to understanding the market research categories. Very important understanding on this, step by step. One is a qualitative category of market research. And that qualitative method attempt to explore customer or staff within own environment. Companies with large, huge staff, they would use this to look at attitude and motivation for which the answer cannot be predicted. Yeah, so that is qualitative marketing research. Next is to provide insight and observation, not necessarily representative of the marketplace as a whole. So again here, in the qualitative, the whole survey, it cannot be representing the marketplace as such. What it includes? Observation research. This category of qualitative research would be including observation research, personal interviews, and focus groups. So you pick up a population which would be your target audience to continue that research, and a specific focus group. Qualitative techniques, what we talk of here is, once again, we start counting on the qualitative technique. Observation research is the method for us to study and explore further onto it, and where we talk about description first in the method. What is the description of this qualitative technique method? In that, watching the behavior of the customer, listening to their comments and complaint, and other such activities are example. So quite a few things are taken into consideration, especially the complaint area of the consumer or their activities are example. How did they behave? What was the scenario? What was their action? All these are observation research. And then advantage, count on the advantage. It's not permission or consent-based. Sometimes you do it without even permission obtained from, which could be advantage where you do it very simply and you carry on this sort of a market research. Does not disturb the respondents. So you do it as an observation and you feel like you would go to a restaurant or a supermarket, you would always see the local team moving around and the restaurant, what item moves fast. It's an observation. People are picking up more of dosas or idli and at the rest at the five-star, four-star hotel where this observation technique is used without getting any interruption to you. They just keep picking what is born picked up. It's an observation research. And likewise, people do notice what time in observation research, what time is a big flow of consumer on a specific transport or a specific item that are picked up in the shopping mall. You would have seen this observation research, even with the medical and pharmacies, what item moves fast. And that you don't need permission. You just observe and start noticing all that without disturbing what guests are, what your customer is asking for. You just observe and write. Low cost, because it's done on site. Yeah, I give the example of a five-star themed restaurant would be noticing where breakfast is being served to the guests by just noticing what items are picked up, what item moves fast. So that is loaded more rather than just putting up more item on display which has nobody liking it. Likewise, the data can be quickly obtained because it's on site. And its information is gathered as it happens. So as I was mentioning, you are monitoring the breakfast area of the hotel where breakfast is served and you are monitoring that. And the data is obtained when breakfast completes. You have available data. What item moved fast, what remained till the end, that should not be repeated. So quite a good advantages of this observation research, which is done on the spot. And of course, we need to also account for disadvantages. No chance to ask question or probe. Nobody can ask the guest, why did you pick up idli more? Why did you pick up this particular snack more or this cake more and so on? And likewise, then indirectly obtain information. And of course, this is indirectly. There's no direct response while and so. So this is the disadvantage of it, this observation research. No clue about aspect like motivation, past behavior and future plan. This is quite an important thing. As I highlighted, this is a disadvantage. Why? So you cannot form an opinion that X item is on sale more. So you cannot form an opinion like BP tablets are sold more, so people in this locality are BP patient. Just an example. We are continuously moving on understanding qualitative techniques and we pick up another method which is very much common is called personal interviews. And what that is, to describe that personal interview method, it's a face-to-face, as the name suggests. It's face-to-face, personally. And interaction with the respondent. It could be with the customer's competitors or competitor's customer, etc. So it could be to get something out of what product you need to improve and how. And it could be personal interview only. And again, advantages have to be considered in this particular personal interview. So let's try to understand the advantages of it. It's high response rate. Yeah, so because it is done on a personal basis, the responses are quite high. And then respondent may be observed. So you personally monitor them, you look at them, and in personal interview, a lot of things can be observed. Whether those people having command on human psychology can form an opinion whether a person was in this personal interview was honest to the core or was putting up a response. Moving further, interviewer helps to explain meaning of the question. So one can question, interact, and understand what has been put as a survey for them and properly answer to the best of the data collection. Open-ended questions may be used where the respondent find it comfortable and understand what exactly to be answered, because open-ended questions are asked, not just an answer with yes and no, maybe, and those sort of an answer. Again, answer may be pre-coded in field of expert interviews. Yeah, this is an advantage of it. Like the other side of this advantage is also we should talk about, the interviews are biased. Yes, personal interviews can turn into a biased sort of an answer expected. So you plant some people, they say, you plant people there and you get an answer what you would like to them to speak out to you. Then personal questions poorly answered, and nobody likes to talk and answer comfortably, and they would possibly not respond. They would say, it's a personal thing, why should I answer this? And even the person not responding, claiming it to be very personal, cannot be challenged in this type of interviews. Getting the respondent, not easy. Yeah, because right now to get a respondent is not easy thing these days. It involves high cost. It needs a lot of investment. Not viable in remote places. Yeah, this is again not possible in remote areas. It cannot be done. Suppose someone is doing a survey somewhere in Kandivali, example from Mumbai, which is a remote area for people working in Navi Mumbai or in Mumbai, Nariman Point, Kolaba area. So just an example. People tend to tell you, what do you want to hear? Which means, what do you expect me to answer? Which means, this is a disadvantage because you are personally challenging. And there are interviews known where even answers are given to one person whom you question. So with that understanding of personal interview with the explanation and understanding taken from script, description and advantages and disadvantage, we move to the next slide, which has a qualitative technique, again, focusing on the groups. Now, groups are group of people, definitely, because you are interviewing human beings. So it's an organized discussion, like you have a panel discussion. Organized discussion with small group of customers and non-customers to discuss perception, ideas, problem, etc. Yeah, these are various things that are being discussed. What's your perception? A lot of time we have a perception, which is not a reality. Then taking out in the description the ideas behind it and asking also for problem. What are the advantages of this? Same as above. Which means advantage is able to draw out responses in this focus group. You are able to ask someone by asking and encouraging to answer. More relaxing and less intimidating. Because there are a small number of people, so you find more responsibles. Because in that type of a group discussion, you focus to a specific person. Ideas and problems can be fully explored. So they would say, let me understand when a respondent says, in the group discussion, he would say, let me get you and ask, request you to elaborate what you said. More honest responses as compared to one-on-one interview. Because here, you expect people to honestly answer and you literally get an honest response. Because it's definitely a brainstorming discussion in a group. Let's look at the disadvantages. Difficult to arrange focus groups are expensive because to call them at a particular place, ask them to say, take care of their transport, pay for their meals, etc., is an expensive exercise. Then it requires a large commitment of time and effort by the respondents. Because it consumes time and effort, so obviously it requires large commitment. People should honestly say and schedule according to what they are asking. People are busy these days, especially people who would like to be answering and to be sitting in a group discussion. It requires expert facilitator to set up focus group. Not everyone is capable of doing that. You need an expert for that. And some individuals can dominate the discussion and sidetrack it. This has been noticed in bigger groups, be it a political focus group or any organization group where you have more number of people. Command and authority, there are reports that people have sidelined. Like, for example, this comes up in a lot of hot discussion in different IATA airline discussion. Airline with big number of aircraft and large fleet and more destination to fly, they have tried to overrule those airlines who have less number of flights, less of destination to fly, etc. So with this qualitative technique and focus group discussion, we shift to data categories now. Okay, now with all those type of qualitative strategies that we have seen, the surveys, different type of surveys, and their description, advantage and disadvantages, we now move to another category called data categories. Now, data itself is a science. Those of you who have been in ICT will know that data is a science in itself and it is a research area. It's a wonderful way of different things. So we would focus on data categories as our next point of discussion and understanding. We look at the primary data. This is again part of our research discussion that we are going on in this chapter. So we talk about the primary data. Time to time I've been sharing and link it with how this happens with the travel and tourism industry. So primary data is available at many places. Now converting both quantitative and qualitative data is basically a primary data. Okay, and that we have seen that's obtained through different surveys, different methods and so on. So that's primary data. It requires gathering of primary data, which is not available from any other secondary sources. So a lot of efforts are being put in gathering all this primary data. Many a time it's a difficult exercise. There are special companies in the field of research who have available data that they sell, which is on done of their with their experts, with different type of research that we have done, and that whole data is sold at a very high cost. There are airlines, there are travel agency, destination management companies, tourism board who buy this data for their future exercises. So we are discussing the primary data, and it requires gathering, so which we have seen. For example, a survey commissioned by one airline service provider to have insight about the customer satisfaction level regarding its services as compared to the competitor on the same route would be primary data. So what they do, as I said, like a mystery caller, they also pay to their staff to fly on the similar route and see what they offer. I've done a lot of such myself, and we have gone from a great detail, not only from the quality of the service on the flight, but the meal served. What are the components in the meal, including coffee, tea, whether they give you a sachet milk, cream milk, or milk served to you in small little tins. Yeah, that's how you do our primary data collection, especially if you are comparing your product with your competitor's product and where you can improve. All these different type of surveys. So survey commissioned by one airline, I gave you the example that we go into much of detail. Why X airline flying from route from, Jeddah to London is more popular than this. And obviously there are certain policies to which no adjustment can be made. For example, airline not serving alcohol may not adopt because competitor offers that. For example, Air India, when they do the survey, they have shortened it that maximum 3 cans of beer can be served to a passenger. Because more than that, then you get intoxicated and create a nuisance on the flight. This is just outcome of a survey. So that's the primary data collection. I hope this example will give you to understand what is the importance of collecting data. Then come the secondary data. Secondary data is information gathered already. All established sources, including government statistics, trade associations, surveys, and commercial publishers, market surveys represent and secondary data. All these type of surveys that are published by UNWTO, that are published by Government of India, Ministry of Tourism, that are shared by World Travel and Tourism Council, all are secondary data. Using secondary data is the easiest and cost-effective method to obtain information. Now, this particular secondary data is available. Now, the situation arises when, in many cases, the secondary data is easily available, but in some cases, even that is not available. And they have to guess, and that's why it's called either guesstimate. Yeah, this is secondary data. If not available, then to create a primary data, the source of collecting primary data also become difficult. Okay, moving from secondary data, I highlighted for airline perspective, from travel agency, tourism board perspective, you have data available. Now, Omnibus. Omnibus, large market research companies collect their own data from survey sample and sell it to range of customers. And I gave you this. There are companies who are involved into that. Such research is known as Omnibus service. So there are companies, some companies have rank of auditor and they have their market research. One of the famous name is Dalal & Associates, KPG. These are the companies who are required. There are a lot of publishers of data available, including the secondary data, which provider also carry on a specific server which is sold. So data collection, dear student, is a very difficult scenario. That's why we saw into different research method from surveys, because that survey will gather and give it to you as a primary data that is to design what you want in a specific route. Like I would say, what passengers flying from Mumbai to Bangkok. Now, all passengers who have flown from Mumbai to Bangkok are not Mumbai-based passengers. Say, ideal example of Emirates Airline. Emirates Airline knows for sure that passenger picked up by them on their flights from whichever country they are flying to Dubai are not all Dubai-bound. Once upon a time, there used to be 85% coming in to connect to other flight from Dubai to other destination where Emirates fly. Now it has dropped to 60 to 65%. So more than half of the passenger flying on Emirates Airline know from their data that they are passenger to connect to other destination on Emirates Airline flight. In airline terminology, this type of statistic or data is known as the Sixth Freedom flight data. So the omnibus, we come again from primary and secondary data, is one that is taken for collection of data exclusively to make it as a price product and sell it. And for that, they have their own method. They possibly travel to destination and gather data about that. For example, a new airline would like to fly out of Mumbai to, say, Yangon. And they would like to know exactly what and how the many number of passengers would be available from Mumbai to Yangon. The statistic would be there available from IATA, secondary data. Number of flights going from Mumbai to Bangkok, and then Bangkok to how many passengers fly who are Indian and originated in India. Well, it's quite a detailed study, but I'm focusing and explaining it to you in the best way I can. And this is what omnibus surveys are. Such surveys are cost-effective for companies which look for answers to 4 or 5 questions compared to collecting the entire data in themselves. And I give the example of Mumbai to Yangon. They would like to start a new flight and they would like to see how many passengers they would find to fly from Mumbai to Yangon on a direct flight. Okay, we move further. Syndicated market research category. So we have understood primary, secondary, omnibus. Now we look at syndicated. Syndicated surveys serve much the same purpose as omnibus, but are usually commissioned by a group of clients on a cost-sharing basis. So more people will join hand, different groups will join hand and would put up as a syndicate and share the cost and bear the cost so that more samples, more population can be reached to get that type of a survey. And this survey is conducted by a research firm at specific time or stated interval or any number of topics selected by the research firm. And it is mainly based on the client's request. So they cater to the needs of their client, which could be common clientele for 3 or 4 people looking for the same thing. The survey results are made available to all clients on subscription basis. There are so many such syndicated surveys available also. And you can pay if you would like to be a subscriber for that. Yes, that's my personal experience tells me that to collect a lot of data is an exercise in itself, especially travel-related data. Because yes, secondary data is available, but to zero it down to more authentic and more requirement-based, you need to put up a lot of efforts. And there, this term, guesstimates have come in. People do it as a guesstimate. A marketing research category, we would like to do an occupancy study. One type of research or in category occupancy. So information collected about occupancy related detail and statistics gathered periodically. See, this is the Federation of Hotel and Restaurant Association study on Indian hotels, FHRAI, which is quite a research. They zero it down with some of the reports which are very important. What are the requirements now? For example, India is experiencing more non-veg eaters numbers as what it was 50 years back. This is an outcome of this. What people love. So FHRAI has done a research onto all that. Information collection about occupancy related detail and different detail as I mentioned. Market research in the context of tourism marketing. Now we link it to the tourism market. That's the subject that we have been continuously talking. So the purpose of marketing research in tourism. Why do we do market research in tourism? With all that research topics that we have done in our previous slides and previous understanding. The purpose is of marketing research, and marketing research is the basic of any marketing plan and implementation of policies. You can't just do anything and come up. So marketing research, try to understand, it helps to understand travelers' motivation and preferences. A traveler from a country to India is not necessarily to go to Taj Mahal. The motivation of those type of clientele is to come to India for medical tourism, which is totally different from those who are coming to India for religious activities, rituals going down up to Uttarakhand, Haridwar, etc. for rituals, or coming in for Kumbh Mela. People going to Saudi Arabia, that motivation of one traveler is to go and start working in Saudi Arabia. As again, someone going for religious activity to perform Hajj or Umrah. So that marketing research is to understand travelers' motivation. And it will be number of motivations that can be summed up in the market research. Identify target segment, as I said. How many would be adventure seeker? How many are coming for cultural? How it will be digital nomads and etc. Another object of the marketing or purpose of the marketing research is to optimize promotional category and channels. Your fund invested in promotion shouldn't go waste and down the drain. It should be used and get ROI, return on investment. That's why you do marketing research, that you invested into the promotion rightly, understanding from the market research, you targeted the right type of your customer. And the fourth in our purpose of the marketing research here is to evaluate destination competitiveness. Would you stand good? For example, when Vietnam came in, I have noticed that Vietnam has come here from the marketing end of the tour operator and airline only. I haven't seen the tourism board from Vietnam getting active in Indian market. And likewise, Cambodia I've seen exhibiting at different shows. So the role of destination competitiveness is going through the end user or the traveler within India, not according to my understanding, is not through the help of marketing research, but because they made certain changes and people were looking for an alternate destination to Thailand, and that is where the success of Vietnam exists now. Because I've not seen any of them active. Yes, I've seen airlines. I've seen Vietnamese tour operators being present here on a very large scale, participating in the shows, doing road shows, attending travel and trade shows, and highlighting their product to the end users. Let's move further. Marketing research in the context of tourism market. What are the research area that is focused on? Market segmentation, very important. Market segmentation, whom you would like to do, how do you like to segment them? What is the destination perception analysis? That's important. What do you people think of that place? What comes to people's mind when they talk of a destination? Whether I will be able to enjoy? Is there anything I would see next? Or is identical? So perception is quite important. Like a lot of tourists in India still feel Africa is the same old Africa which they have seen. People wearing short clothes, have nothing to eat. No. The African destinations have drastically changed. They haven't stopped. Evaluation happened in all fields. You'll find skyscrapers. You'll be shocked to see some of the buildings in the countries like even Nairobi, a city like Nairobi and Dar es Salaam. Huge skyscrapers have erupted there. South Africa stands very good with their infrastructure. Likewise, Egypt and so on. So destination perception, I gave a lot of example for you to understand. Then competitor analysis is done as a market research area because you are a product is being offered or to be offered should be definitely having a competition. We are not into a market that is called a monopoly market. There is no sort of this research. We need petrol and that's it. Whether we buy from Gulf country or we buy from Russia and so on. But when we go for tourist destination, to promote a destination, to do a research work, you need to do a competitor's analysis. Then, of course, it's done for demand forecasting. Okay, we had only 2 flights a week, but now the month of January, December, October, school holidays all coming, we would need more flights. Simple example, demand forecasting, you know for sure that for Ganesh Utsav, you need more trains going down towards Konkan area because people go down there. You need more flights to go for Chhath Puja in Bihar. So demand forecasting happens according to that market research. There are existing available fixed departures. Likewise, customer satisfaction and experience has to be given priority for that. Market research are done. And research method, we are all focusing on tourism marketing. Some of the thing in detail we have seen, all these research method like surveys, we have seen different type of surveys done. We have seen the focus group discussion. It applies here also, a lot of focus groups sit and talk and discuss what are the growth area. In recent trade shows, focus group discussion have become very popular where selected group of travel agent, travel expertise, travel planner all sit and put their head together. Likewise, interviews in research method also is used in tourism marketing, observation, special media listening. Yes, you hire media. You take media, you take media blogger, content writer into your research method and they explore. Website analytics will come up and say, well, these are requirements for search engine to answer and your website doesn't have all this. And then the secondary research. So you have seen, dear student, the detailed tourism market requirement and different activities that we have seen in form of surveys, in form of research, in form of data analysis, secondary data, how things work. Now we look now another one market research in the context of tourism marketing, and here we look at the practical application of everything. How do we do that? Is first we develop targeted campaign. You need to do that at the practical application. So you would find suddenly people standing on the airport asking to give you answers for few things. There are people who are allowed to move within the airport campus at some airport due to security reason, not at all, but at certain airport, people come and take your interview. I have answered so many such interviews across the world when I have flown. They ask, why do you fly there? What best time of the flight you would like to do? If they have two or three airports, they would say possibly how many, which airport you love to use for this destination, etc., etc. So that targeted campaign, optimized channel strategy, content strategy, and enhanced service delivery. All these are focused on the practical application. So in the application of tourism marketing, if you still use the traditional way of your channel strategy, for example, you just put an ad at 10:30 in the night on the electronic media, maybe nobody has an interest. The high time on a channel to put an ad is 1 minute or 30 seconds before the news broadcast, where everyone is glued to see the news coming in at 10:30. It's an example. So optimization of channel selection, optimization of content strategy, giving in print media, people pick up for English language, midday, Times of India, more than with respect, not other newspaper. And likewise, content strategy, what you need to write into it, what you need to share with people, the content strategy without any biased things. Okay? You're listening to Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah, and I'm explaining to the best of my capacity to understand different market research techniques, its implementation, and it's an application. Now, market research done through an agency. This is some prime area that is seeing now attention. Define the problem in terms of research objective. You have to tell them exactly, the survey agency, that this is what we want. Define the problem in terms of research. Why we are getting less number of people flying on our 2 o'clock flight, which was not the case before. Yeah, that is, you explain to that survey agency what are your requirements. Accordingly, they will set up their research work. Indicate the methodology for the said study survey so as to achieve the desired research objective. Now, if you'd like to do some survey in the tier 2 city or tier 3 city, more advanced technology and selection may not help. So there, the personal interview, a survey done through traditional way, could be more successful within our boundaries of India, because not the tier 2, 3 and tier 3 cities are well connected. And many are not comfortable to answer surveys done in English language. That's why personal interviews are taken as more successful in surveys done in the countryside. And then we are talking about the requirements to define the problem, indicate the methodology, and mention the indicative report structure. What you would want that to come up as an answer for you to take up and apply and implement that. Moving further with the requirement done for market research through an agency, indicate the team size and person involved in the said study survey, their qualification and experience, etc. Sending someone to North India for a survey with no understanding of colloquial slangs spoken in North India, then it may not be successful. You may not get the result out of it. Indicate a relevant experience in understanding similar studies surveyed by providing reference of the previous studies. If you have carried on anything, what was the outcome and where was the shortfall that you would like to highlight and explore it further, that you have to say to conducting a market research through an agency. With this, I conclude my talk. I'm Professor Sheikh Ni'matullah. Thank you very much for listening to me.